Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report with a very, very important economic, precious metals, and US dollar update, friends. The banks are melting down, and that's not conjecture, as I've quantified recently. And by the way, Senator James Lankford, well, he just grilled Janet Yellen on these bailouts for these banks. Silicon Valley Bank, they get bailed out. How about Signature Bank in New York? Sure, they get bailed out. How about your little bank, your regional bank? Nope, it's going to be up to the Fed and the Treasury, and you will not get the free money, friends. Your deposits are at risk.
We have seen the mergers of banks over the past decade. I'm concerned you're about to accelerate that by encouraging anyone who has a large deposit in a community bank to say, we're not going to make you whole, but if you go to one of our preferred banks, we will make you whole at that point.
That's certainly not something that we're encouraging.
That is happening.
Thanks for tuning in, friends. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Silver has been valued for its beauty and rarity for centuries. But did you know it also plays a vital role in modern industry and tech? According to Noble Gold Investments CEO Colin Plume, who I just interviewed recently, silver could be the new oil. From electronics to solar panels, demand for silver is only set to rise. That's why investing in a silver IRA from Noble Gold Investments is a smart choice for those looking to secure their financial future. With a Noble Gold Investments silver IRA, you can invest in physical silver coins or bars and take advantage of its unique properties as both a precious metal and industrial commodity. Not only does a Noble Gold Investments silver IRA provide a hedge against inflation and market volatility, it also allows you to diversify your portfolio with an asset proven to hold its value over time. And this month, you'll get a beautiful Silver Eagle coin with every qualifying IRA of $20,000 or higher. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments and their thousands of five-star reviews. Just visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get started. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Bob Kudla from Trade Genius is back. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me, Sean.
Well, thanks for coming on. So I guess let's just keep this current and then we'll go back in time and then we'll jump forward. So March 22nd, as we're having this conversation, the Fed just announced they are continuing to raise rates, but instead of 50 basis points, they've raised 25 basis points. But that's not going to help the banks. The banks are upside down on long treasuries they bought when interest rates were near zero. And now the banks are broke. I can quantify that further in a second, but I'm talking about not just Signature Bank, Silicon Valley Bank. I'm talking about more than 300 banks are broke, and the Fed does not have the backs of those banks. They're going to cause a bank run, Bob.
Yeah, so, you know, let's talk about what the Fed said today, is that they shifted gears here. It's very important. And we've been talking about that, too, on our podcast as well, Sean, is that tightening credit now is going to be the theme. Because these banks now are impaired and some of them got lifelines for backstop deposits, they're going to stop lending, okay? And that's going to cause an overall downshift in the economy. And it's going to be a problem. And so what started off as the long duration issues off the table, okay? The Fed basically said, we'll backstop all duration risk. Okay, that's different than, you know, bailing them out, but it's not good for the banks because they have to pay for that privilege. But what that means though is that they're going to be capital constrained. And then what's coming up, there's $350 billion of real estate loans, you know, made to contractors and to hedge funds and you name it. In multifamily and in single family construction and multifamily lending have to be refinanced. They're ending, they're on a cliff. And so those notes have to be refinanced. Well, you know, going from where they probably had 2%, 3% money, now they're going to get 9%, 10% money. A lot of these guys are just going to walk away. And it's going to cause, that's going to be phase two of this problem. And then phase three, then, is the follow-up from that is we're going to get a credit implosion from the depositors that are borrowing money from the banks, not the big money, but the small money. And so we're going to get hit with these three whammies coming up. And at the same time, we're going into a recession. So Yeah, it's going to be culling the herd time. And ironically, is that, look, I hate the Fed as an institution, but Powell is doing the only thing that he can do to keep us from going into MMT fairy tale, you know, land where we go Weimar on this. And that's why, you know, it is such an important thing for people to realize that they may not raise rates anymore at all. They won't have to. You just won't be able to get a loan. That's a problem.
Yeah. And let me just say, in my view, the Fed has betrayed these banks. So they did a rope-a-dope. They really compelled these banks to go long treasuries. And of course, this government operating on nothing but debt needs those treasuries to be purchased. So these banks did it, not just the big banks, the little banks, the regional banks, your local bank. They all went long these treasuries. And now they're all upside down. In fact, they're underwater. In fact, many of them are illiquid. They're bankrupt. And in my view, the Fed betrayed these banks by raising rates when these banks thought the rates would stay close to zero in perpetuity. Do you see it like I see it? It reminds me a little bit of what David Rockefeller did when he controlled Standard Oil. And there was a competitor and he wanted to buy the competitor. And the competitor said no. So what happened? The competitor burned down in the middle of the night. Their oil refinery burned down in the middle of the night. There were trials about this. And two executives from Standard Oil were on trial. And guess what? They got off. So it feels a bit like a rope-a-dope here. Do you agree with me that the Fed has bankrupted these banks by design? Because now, conveniently, they want to introduce their CBDC, or at least their FedNow system, in July.
Yeah, I mean, look, they ambushed them, and that's for sure. Look, I don't think CBDC is coming anytime soon. I know everybody thinks it's coming tomorrow. There actually has to be a lot more put in place before they can actually try to launch that. FedNow is something different. But yeah, of course, we know the direction they're going. This was a manufactured crisis. You know, Signature Bank and SVB Bank did not have to be taken over. This could have been handled more quietly and more judiciously, but they wanted a crisis. They got one now. The only problem they have is they don't know if they can control this crisis. And really weird thing about it is that, you know, Powell and Yellen are kind of at war. You know, Powell did his speech today. Yellen was giving her speech at the same time because these guys are, you know, are at war. Yellen and the Biden administration do not want to happen with George Bush. Remember him in 1991 when the Fed rolled him into a recession and forced Clinton into the thing. The Bidens don't want that, so they're trying to fight it. But the minute they get this debt relief bill, you know, from Congress on raising the level, is that it's going to cause another bank run to happen too, Sean. So the banks are in really bad shape. Yeah, they were forced to, but not just the Fed forced them to do it. Congress forced them to buy these treasuries as quote unquote tier one assets. So yeah, there's no good guys in this whatsoever. Yeah, and we're going to probably go to 130 number of banks here. You know, you got your big eight, and you're probably going to have a very, very small set of regional banks out there in the future. And that has its own set of problems moving forward in terms of being able to control the level of lending in the country. And you know, and six out of the eight banks are in New York, which is a problem in and of itself.
Well, yeah. And the too big to fail banks are so often associated with the Federal Reserve itself, its private shareholders. We're talking about JP Morgan, House of Morgan, Bank of America. These are big international, in my view, criminal banks. And once you're on their plantation, you're not getting out. So I want to talk a little bit about FedNow versus CBDC. And for those who don't want to hear about Bitcoin, I'm sorry, you're going to hear about Bitcoin a bit in this conversation. I have an incredible soundbite I want to play from Balaji Srinivasan. And I'm not sure I'm saying his last name right, but this guy's brilliant. He's the former chief tech officer at Coinbase, and he is not a Bitcoin evangelist. I want to make that clear. But given what's happened just recently, he's making the case that the window is closing. You either get on board with Bitcoin or you're going to be entrapped. You're going to be trapped by the Federal Reserve CBDC. So FedNow rolling out in July. I agree with you. And Powell has said it himself. They're not prepared with their CBDC. That will take more time, a lot more time, in Powell's words. However, FedNow is the beginning of the doors closing. Once you engage with FedNow, You will need a digital ID, and they will know every transaction you make. There is no more cash. There will never be more cash. And that is the beginning of the end, in my view. I'll play those sound bites from Balaji in just 1 second. But your thoughts on Fed now? Are you threatened by it? I am. I don't want any part of it.
No, I think XRP and Ripple are threatened by it because it basically took their reason for being, at least in the United States, out of the picture. The Fed was never going to allow a cryptocurrency to compete with them on transactions. So I think XRP and Ripple, I get all the hate mail I want, but that you don't need them if you have Fed now. And so that's what they're going to do with the banks. You know, in one sense, it's taking these guys out of the Stone Age, because there's no reason why you have to have such delays in bank transfers and transactions anyway. And so you can move Bitcoin around in seconds and cheap, where, you know, you're talking, you can't really do international transactions. It's 3 days to do a stock transaction. So in that sense, if we weren't so intent on the evil of these people, FedNow is long overdue. You know, CDBC is a different animal in and of itself. When you say they're tracking the transactions, you can't do the FedNow without a digital ID anyway. So it's the CDBC where we got to get really focused on. FedNow is really irrelevant in my world. It's the CDBC thing that is going to be the problem, because they're going to be able to get in there and turn on and off access and turn on and off SKUs. But FedNow, don't get distracted with FedNow. Save your ammunition for, you know, the Antichrist bill that's coming down. That's CDBC.
Okay, well, let's just talk about the haves and the have-nots versus the power brokers. Those would be the haves. I'm talking about the Federal Reserve and Yellen specifically telling Senator James Lankford that, it's not our intention to bail out every bank. And it would take a supermajority of the Fed Reserve Board and her as the deciding decision about who they would bail out in the future. So what do you see here? How do we caution the audience? We don't want to start a bank run. And that's what the Fed is afraid of, by the way. And I think they just added another $300 billion onto their balance sheet. So to me, it's QE. Where are we now? QE 3, 4, 5? So what is your advice to the audience about the moral hazard here of a criminal out of control Federal Reserve and a Treasury Secretary saying, yeah, we'll pick and choose who gets to live and who gets to die?
Yeah, so look, I'll tell you what I'm doing. That's all I really can do. I can't control them at the moment. I wasn't given those powers. But make sure you're under 250,000. Now, if you have a business, you know, and I do, you make sure you have sweep accounts that are outside. You know, you sweep it into the treasury, you sweep it into anything that's not related to that bank, because that's not considered an unsecured deposit. Okay, that's considered a custodial action. That's what you do, number one. Number two is, most of the people listening to you and I talking probably don't have personally $250,000 in bank accounts. If you do, you know, hold your nose. You're getting 4.8% on your money with the Treasury three month T-bills. Okay, so that's what I would do. And then evaluate if you have, you know, don't worry about your brokerage accounts. They're under SIPC, and stocks are treated different than the cash that they have. So I wouldn't worry about that at the moment. Now, having said that, I think what's going to probably happen, Sean, is that you're going to see Congress probably make some legislation here, because the last thing flyover country wants, you know, they made a movie called Wizard of Oz about this, you know, 150 years ago, is that last thing they want is to have New York bankers control the financial wheelings and dealings of the entire country. And I think you're going to probably see legislation protecting these regional banks, you know, forcing Yellen's hand in terms of who she decides. She's going to lose that right over time on this. They probably know politically they'll have a bipartisan agreement to save local banks. Remember, local banks support local politicians, all right? And these guys aren't stupid. They see their bread and butter go away. They're going to force to make sure there are enough local, regional banking institutions in each congressman's district and not a branch of JP Morgan that you have to go hat in hand to Jamie Dimon or whomever, you know, to get your congressional funding, not to mention the local, you know, businesses being able to support their businesses unencumbered by an agenda coming out of New York or out of Charlotte or out of San Francisco. So I think that's the advice I would give. That's what I think is going to happen. And I think a war has started here. They're going to have to retrench on the they're going to have to backstop everybody at some point. Now, that'll lead right into your next segue in terms of Bitcoin, gold, and silver, because our long-suffering days are over, my friend, because that would just skyrocket the potential for money supply, and everybody's going to preempt that, and they're going to start moving into it. Bitcoin sniffed this thing out, Sean, about a month ago. Gold and silver sniffed this out about a month ago, too, and they started to move. And regardless of any kind of pullbacks today because of the news, is that you're going to want to be in a non-banking environment as an off-ramp just in case this thing gets real. And as you know, you saw how fast Bitcoin can move. You make a lot of money, and you can also make a lot of money in the crypto miners as well as the gold and silver miners. So sorry for the long-winded answer, but that's kind of my view on it.
Friends, just a real quick break and a word about our sponsor. Silver has been valued for its beauty and rarity for centuries. But did you know it also plays a vital role in modern industry and tech? According to Noble Gold Investments CEO Colin Plume, who I just interviewed recently, silver could be the new oil. From electronics to solar panels, demand for silver is only set to rise. That's why investing in a silver IRA from Noble Gold Investments is a smart choice for those looking to secure their financial future. With a Noble Gold Investments Silver IRA, you can invest in physical silver coins or bars and take advantage of its unique properties as both a precious metal and industrial commodity. Not only does a Noble Gold Investments Silver IRA provide a hedge against inflation and market volatility, it also allows you to diversify your portfolio with an asset proven to hold its value over time. And this month, you'll get a beautiful Silver Eagle coin with every qualifying IRA of $20,000 or higher. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments and their thousands of five-star reviews. Just visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get started. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Yeah, well, let me just tell you guys, my hand to God, I just bought more Bitcoin while Bob was talking via my Coinbase account. Now, the majority of my Bitcoin is in cold storage. But honestly, guys, what's happening today is, I think, an absolute joke. Let me just show you something. All right. So Bitcoin down $1,200 after the Fed announces they're slowing the rate of interest rate hikes to 25 basis points. He sounded more dovish. To me, it's print, 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 print. There's no way out of this. So I think this is an absolute joke. But I will say Bitcoin is up 70%. At least it was up 70%+ year to date. Today, gold at 1,982, up 33. Silver at 23 bucks. Up 65 cents. Here's what I wanted to play, though. If we're going to have a conversation about Bitcoin, I want to play this soundbite from Balaji. Again, he's the former chief tech officer at Coinbase. He's an entrepreneur. This guy's a multimillionaire. And here's what he has to say about the window that's closing as the Fed circles the wagons and wants their central bank digital currency. Of course, that'll start with Fed now. Here's what he has to say.
Before setting up the BitSignal was something where, and again, how intentional is it versus how emergent? I don't know. But the current path was that the Fed causes this crisis, bankrupts all the banks. You know, one of them has a bank run. Fed rolls in. They're both arsonist and firefighter. Somehow they know exactly what's about to happen, right? FDIC rolled in real. They're real professionals, right? Actually, they knew the bank, everything was insolvent, right? And with all of these small banks, the tech banks, community banks going down, and all the money pinned at the central bank, or at the big banks, the CBDC rollout becomes very simple. You just have four banks that are really all the same, and now you don't have any choice. And the alternative to that, though, is if people buy Bitcoin, that is literally the exit from the system. It is something that they cannot control. They cannot edit the entries on that ledger. That's the whole point. It's this bulletproof, decentralized ledger. And the 21 million number, they can't corrupt it, and they can't censor it. And this whole thing, everything that we've ever talked about here, you know, you and me for 10 years, and you know, what's funny is, I am not, neither of us, I don't think, you know, I'm not a Bitcoin maximalist. but we're all going to be Bitcoin maximalists now. Okay. What I mean by that is the Bitcoin maximalist philosophy. And again, I've recognized that many of its exponents and so on are like insane and it's all true. But unfortunately, you're going to kind of need insane people for what is about to happen. Okay. Their worldview is the closest. Most of our people don't have any idea of what's coming. Okay. But Bitcoin maximalists are maybe the only people on earth who are prepared for the potential sovereign default of the US dollar and the rise of Bitcoin.
All right, I'll pause it there. Look, I got to tell you guys, I'll leave the clip below. I could not more strongly recommend you listen to the entire hour. This guy probably has got an IQ of 160. He's 10 times smarter than I am when it comes to Bitcoin. And he is not a Bitcoin evangelist, but he's saying now's the time and the window is closing, because once you're on the Fed's plantation, it's going to be very hard to get out, especially if you are panicked about these regional bank runs. So you move all your money and your deposits to the four or five big banks. Once you're in, they're never going to let you out. So anyway, I think it's a very lucid discussion. And Bitcoin is a very interesting story. You and I have been talking about it for a long time, Bob. And I know there's people that watch this channel and say all crypto's bad. Bitcoin is a CIA plant. It's just, you know, stay away from it. They've been wrong since day one. They've been wrong for 10 years, at least financially speaking. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's just prudent to have money in Bitcoin. I'm a more of a Bitcoin maximalist in the sense that I don't like the altcoins too much. I don't understand a lot of their use cases, and they're highly manipulated. And I think that's what the federal government did. They've been blowing up all the altcoins, but they've been protecting Bitcoin. Okay. Remember, the rich and the elites need to off ramp from the banking system too. So, you know, because it might not be that easy for them to be that corrupt in terms of protecting themselves. So a lot of these guys are on the same off-ramp as we are. And so, you have to have some money in Bitcoin for sure. And for people who are afraid of it, you could buy the Bitcoin miners are going to do extremely well. I put money for my daughter's account for Wolf, WULF, not going to touch it for years, you know, let it go. And, you know, I'm a big Mara guy. You can replace that with, you know, with Riot. There's a few other smaller ones out there, BTBT, HUT, et cetera, Cypher. We kind of watch them all. And you can make a lot of money. You can leverage that. I think you get early leverage on the crypto miners over Bitcoin. And then Bitcoin will be the place to be. So, because they'll have their side chains and whatever. But for us, you know, if you're going to ask me levels here, is that there's big resistance at 32,000. We got to watch that. We could pull back here to the breakout on this move, because, you know, it was a pretty nice move up from 18.5 to what did we get to 28 and change. Is it could pull back to 25 or a little bit more, but it's going to roll back higher again. Same with gold and silver. You know, I'm more of a gold and silver miner owner than I am gold and silver owner, because it's just not convenient. You know, if somebody said I had to lug rocks around to pay my bills, I'd rather just own Bitcoin. Okay. So, but I like both of them. And then, you know, while the stock market's still going, is energy is going to do fine. Look what happened today. Oil was up, Bitcoin pulled back, but it was really up. Gold is up, silver's up, miners are up. So I think it's going to be that's where you're going to make a lot of money, and you're going to want to be shorting tech. But he's absolutely right, you know, in terms of but you know, you and I have been screaming about this for however long we've been on this show together, you know, that you have to have some Bitcoin, you have to have it. And, you know, you can trade in and out of it, get size up, size down. But this next move that's coming, you know, and you know me, I've been always very cautious in prediction. This next move could be breathtaking, only in the sense that what's going to happen to the economy may be breathtaking.
Well, and that's exactly the point that Balaji makes. And just to be clear, he had made a tweet where he accepted a $1 million bet. And the projection of the bet was that over the next 90 days, Bitcoin could hit $1 million. He makes it clear in that interview that he's really doing that as a marketing tool to raise awareness about Bitcoin. He's a rich guy. Is it really going to hit $1 million in 90 days? Probably not. But in that interview, he shares charts around the world where hyperinflation hit, and it hits fast. It hits between hours and a week or two. I mean, inflation, hyperinflation can hit so fast, and that's the bet he's making. He's betting that hyperinflation could take place within 90 days. It probably won't, but it could. And the point I want to make about Bitcoin, for those that hate it and haven't done any research or read the white paper, is that, and again, when Balaji talks about crazy maximalists, he's probably talking about people like Max Keiser, Michael Saylor, or El Salvador, the president of El Salvador, which has embraced Bitcoin as a currency. Here's the thing. Bitcoin is peaceful. Bitcoin does not promote war. Bitcoin cannot be printed. There will never be more than 21 million, so they can't phantom make more Bitcoin so they can pay for their damn wars, right? So here's the thing that kills me about people that say Bitcoin is a trap, Bitcoin is terrible, Bitcoin is rat poison. So they go ahead in their 401ks and they're invested in what? Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, Halliburton? I mean, are we seeing the moral quandary here, Bob?
Yeah, and you know, I'm with you. I can't really add too much more to that. Absolutely, you know, and also they always say they can take all your Bitcoin away. Hello, they can take all your stock away from you too. They can take all your cash away from you too. They can take your home away from you too. So set that argument aside. They'd have more trouble taking away your Bitcoin because it's not there, but it's there, but it's not there. You know, as long as you can get yourself out of the country, your Bitcoin's waiting for you. So, you know, I think what Bacali's doing in El Salvador, he's probably creating a safe haven for a lot of people here pretty soon. To go and rescue themselves.
Yeah. All right. One more word about precious metals before we let you go. But guys, Bob's making money all day long, every day with Trade Genius. Here's just a couple of attaboys. Puts on SPY, that would be the S&P 500. Why don't you talk about what's going on with Trade Genius, and we'll go through some of these here.
Yeah. So, you know, for those long-term listeners, we've created a couple really effective algorithms that we're coming out with a third one. That's probably our best one yet to help people really get in the right side of the trades to make money. And we do it for the stock market. We do it for the cryptocurrency markets. We do it for futures and options. And what we've done is not only do we give you trade signals, we give you access to these algorithms so that you can chart the stocks that you want to follow. And we also give you access to chat rooms, and we give you access to training. And like we have even a VIP room where we could talk, like Sean and I are talking to each other right now. And we put these together. We put together bundles for you guys. We have 7 of them running, depending on your level of experience and your what you like to trade. And those are discounted 65% off our they're already pre-discounted off our normal pricing. And then we have, if you don't like that, you can do pick and choose anything that's non-bundled. And the details of the promo codes are below here. So you can take advantage of that. So it's like 40% off of anything off the retail price, gross to net. And I think you'll like what we have to offer. So, you know, we could see things happening through the algorithm that you know, you may not be apparent to you. And so we were positioned very well for the Fed meeting today. You know, we got people in tomorrow twice on some nice trades and out with profit, and it pulled back. Now we'll be in a position again to do another trade on it when it sets up. Our algorithms tell us when to enter and when to exit, and then you have access to those as well so that you can follow along and trade what you like. So it's a really good system. What we charge for service is nothing but you get out of it. A lot of people from SGT Report have used our service in the past and currently. And I encourage you to, you know, check us out. These specials last until Saturday. What's that, the 25th of March. And thanks for letting me share that, Sean.
Yeah, excellent. I'll leave the link below. And 2 more questions if you have the time. How much time do you have left, real quick?
I have 2 minutes and I got to run.
Okay, silver and gold. I neglected to say, obviously, physical silver and physical gold in your possession, just as good as Bitcoin, in my opinion. The point is, you need to be outside this fiat, criminally controlled and manipulated banking system. It is a slave system, as we're all waking up to. And meanwhile, the other thing people are waking up to is this two-tiered system of justice. Do you think they're actually going to arrest Trump for a misdemeanor when Joe Biden and his family can get away with all measure of treason? Give me a break.
Yeah, I think that's rhetorical. But yeah, you know, I mean, look, the Trump, he's goading them. It's actually pretty smart psychology, actually, is that, you know, hey, if I'm worried about getting arrested, I'm going to tell them I want to be arrested. So they start thinking, shoot, Why does he want to be arrested? We better not arrest him. So, but look, I'm happy either way. You know, I think Trump will be fine and he'll probably win. I'm happy with DeSantis in the wings here. So I think that our bench is good. And look, this whole collapse that's coming is really going to screw the Biden administration up. These guys live on bribes and embezzlement. Okay.
Yeah.
And if this thing goes away on them, they have nothing to offer people. Okay. You know, I mean, how often you tell people that you want to, you know, you want to have trans climate change. If you have no money, you're not getting any of that stuff. And people are going to be far more worried about living than they are about some of that garbage.
No, you hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head. These people have nothing to offer us because they won't defend our freedoms and our liberties. And that's all we need government for. I'm going to leave you guys with one tweet. I sent this out the other day. I think it sums it up. Sheeple say Bitcoin is a scam. CNN says there's a run on the banks. Janet Yellen says only the deposits of the banks we choose will be guaranteed. Sheeple say, oh, we better move our money to a big bank. Big bank says, guess what? We've converted your money to Fedcoin. Sheeple, that's what's coming, friends. That's what's coming, in my opinion. Guys, our guest has been Bob Kudla, the founder of Trade Genius. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for having me, Sean. Have a good day.
All right. Talk to you next month. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. As always, a special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv, where we have a server beyond the reach of Big Brother and for real news every single day for free. Join us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless you and yours. And friends, as we tag this out, I'm going to play just a little bit more from Balaji. The link to the entire interview is below.
CBDC gets out there where you're still a free man, you know, and you might be able to wire it out and you might be able to turn some of it into BTC and hold that locally. And that is basically the way, like, that is a way that we might preserve some degree of freedom on the other side of this. Because either it's a, go ahead. I know that sounds, I don't normally talk like this, right?
No. I know you don't. That's why I wanted to talk to you about this. So I think a key question, and I should blame you because once you put out this bit signal, I have somehow become a half spokesperson for Balaji. I literally have gone on podcasts and they're asking me, what is Balaji doing? I have no clue. So I figured you could explain for yourself. But the other thing is, in private, there's people who I think follow your work and they're like, look, Balaji usually doesn't have this type of language. Balaji usually isn't, you know, this public in terms of some of the things that he believes. And so that makes them pay attention. When you made the bet, the $1 million Bitcoin price in 90 days, help unpack. In that bet, are you saying hyperinflation in the United States, or are you saying, no, whether hyperinflation or not, people are going to start to exit and therefore they are going to buy Bitcoin and it will push the price to $1 million in 90-day period? Like, how do you think about, let's go through kind of, if your vision of what is about to happen occurs, what does that world look like over the next 90 days?
What I think is either, so the reason I did the bet was to get people to the Bitcoin lifeboat. Buy Bitcoin, get your keys off exchanges, get to a Bitcoin-friendly jurisdiction. That is the message. Buy Bitcoin, get your keys off exchanges, get to a Bitcoin-friendly jurisdiction. Everything else I say is a rationale for that, right? But that's what the message I'm getting out there is. I'm basically burning money to do this. It is not something that I'm, I mean, the thing is, I believe in Bitcoin, but I also believe in the public good. And that's going to be something that's in short supply in what follows. If what I'm saying is correct, and I believe it is, that the central banks and like the US government has betrayed people on this level, right? Such that they just blew up huge amounts of people's savings, okay? And you couldn't even trust the banks. I mean, like, obviously you knew you couldn't trust the banks, quote unquote, in 2008, but the degree to which, you know, it's like the South Park episode, you know, hey, blah, 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 it's gone, right? You know that thing, right? This financial crisis was creeping up like a panther or like a cloud enveloping people. They weren't even aware of it. It was just invested so much in stealth mode that whether, you know, people were just sleepwalking, it just wasn't a topic of conversation and so on. Now, this is something that's cut through the noise and everybody is aware that there is a financial crisis on and that the banks don't have your money, that the money is gone, right? And that you should probably exchange some of it into Bitcoin and you should do that sooner rather than later because you don't know. We all don't know. It's just hard to predict timing on anything. But they have announced a July launch of the CBDC, and that feels like as good a deadline as any. They've been killing the crypto rails, right? They killed Signature. They killed Silvergate. There aren't that many ways out. And so what I wanted to do was say, get Bitcoin, get your friends and family to get Bitcoin, get your coins off exchanges and do that now, because they might close the doors. They might bar the exit. Now, the thing is, the good thing is they won't be able to bar it worldwide because the US doesn't have control over all banks worldwide anymore. There's like UAE and Saudi and so on, but they still do have control over quite a big chunk of it. And, you know, one way of thinking about it is, you know, I was born an American and I'm doing this because I actually love American values. You know, Paul Revere, the printing is coming, right? The printing is coming. That's literally what we're talking about, right? The printing is coming. This is a, you know, another American analogy. This is a digital Pearl Harbor on all dollar holders. The dollar holder is a bag holder.
He says that the vinyl iodine chloride was the reason why the tanker contents had to be burned, all five cars, not just the one, as I had just mentioned, because there were actually emergency tankers ready to offload the chemicals after the derailment. All they had to do was just, you know, the railroad had to just call them in. They would have driven up and they would have started, you know, pumping out the chemicals so that they didn't have to do the controlled burn. But they would have discovered what the contents were if they would have done that.